Really approach of Batman. It's really exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Esquire.
I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Welcome, Robin's Astro Men, to the Planet Superstish 1 from the Cowardly Galaxy. I'm your host, Sir Trank Anuah. I see from your house colors you are a human designate John Pfeiffer from E-Arth.
It's Juan.
We don't have Ryans on this planet. Well met, friend. As is the custom on my planet, why don't you tell everybody the talking points that we will be discussing today in pill form.
In today's episode, we will be talking about Batman 113, Batman, the Superman of Planet X, Batman 125, The Secret Life of Bat-Hound, and, from Batman 125, King Batman the First. But before we go into that, I need to talk to you about Pikachu. Have you heard the good word?
So we're doing this two episodes in a row, huh?
Most definitely. Do you have anything better?
No.
Then there we go. So, and I haven't watched it, but my wife sent me a clip of it that she found online, and there is a Pokemon movie in, like, theaters, like a limited run, and what it is basically a rehash of the first couple of episodes of the show, where, and very briefly, because I don't need to insert too much Pokemon into a Batman podcast, is Ash, the trainer, and Pikachu going on some adventure, and Pikachu doesn't want to go into its Pokeball. When asked why, Pikachu doesn't go... Pikachu, it responds back in English going, because I like you so much and I like being your friend or something along those lines. And you know what? Pokemon talk, but they're supposed to be like Helen Keller sort of a thing. They just say their name and nothing but.
When you say it talks in English, is Ash talking in English?
Depending on where the movie's being shown. Either way, it speaks a human language. Like, it doesn't just say its name. It speaks a full sentence and just talks. It's a Mewtwo type scenario.
Because I was thinking there's like a Lupin the Third where he's supposed to be like this guy that can speak any language. He can disguise himself with anybody, right? So for some reason, he gives like a message in English, but it is so like Japanese English about it.
Kind of like when we watch Shin Godzilla.
The girl that spoke gratuitous English.
Yeah, it was like the Prime Minister's daughter. She's like, yeah, I speak in perfect English, and it's not.
And it wasn't?
No, but it was better than that, but it was still disjointed. It was like a Batman of a different world just saying, hey, I learned to speak your language.
Well, that's what subtext is, though. I mean, Pikachu, when he says Pikachu, you're supposed to infer that he likes to spend time with him because he's his best friend. You can't just have your characters stating their emotions. That makes me very angry. So let's get on with... The Batman, the Superman of Planet X, also known as the Batman of Zur-En-Arrh, also known as the one where Superman gets powers, also known as What an Ugly Outfit. Dateline, February 1st, 1958. After the successful launch of Sputnik 1 in October last year, the USA yelled an emphatic, oh yeah, and launched its first satellite, Discovery 1. So what was its purpose? To measure dicks, of course. As a side note, if Sputnik is shaped like a testicle, Discovery 1 is shaped like a big old dick. So who won? Short term, the US, as the transceiver in Discovery 1, stayed operational for 111 days, and it stayed in orbit until March 1970, while Sputnik's batteries only lasted 21 days, and its orbit decayed after only 3 months. Long term, the launch of Sputnik ranks among the moon landing as one of the most important breakthroughs in space exploration, while Discovery is a footnote at best, although it did get a Star Trek show named after it. The space race has begun, and with it, millions of B-movies and comics. Case in point, this issue.
The Batman, Superman of Planet X?
Or Zur-En-Arrh or whatever. So what do we get with the rest of this issue, though? We get The Menace of False Face. With pencils by Sheldon Moldoff and inks by Charles Paris. Batman Robin face. Get it. And Master of Disguise and then stop him. Want a quick history of False Face, John?
Is it Clayface but not?
No, you've just heard it. He's a one-off. Batman meets Fat Man. Written by Bill Finger with pencils by Sheldon Moldoff and inks by Charles Paris.
Is Kevin Smith against like copyright infringement on that or how does that work?
I think he's got them for a little while. Batman and Robin meet a rotund podcaster named Kevin Smith and point and laugh at him for a while before punching him in the balls and rubbing a pie in his face.
I really undercut your joke. I'm sorry.
No, actually, it was John Pfeiffer, but I decided to go with Kevin Smith.
Ow!
No, they meet a fat clown that's dressed up as Batman.
That's a pot calling the kettle fat.
I know. I'm taller than you, though. And while giving him a Batmobile ride, he helps him catch some crooks. It's actually, like, super... have you seen what Fat Man looks like? It's like a Batmite with a eating disorder.
It's just a fat Batmite that's, like, regular human size.
But now it's time to go through the transportation portal to Planet X. Grab your Bat Radon. It's the Superman of Planet X, written by Ed Herden, which I think is the first time we've seen his name.
That's for us, yeah.
And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think this entire, both of the issues that we're looking at do not have Bob Kane's name on there at all.
Art on the first title pages on them all, but I think that's just like a...
Yeah, but you know
that's like
I mean.
Putting Stan Lee on everything.
And then, obviously, I mean, just looking at it, you can tell that it was drawn by Dick Sprang and inks were by Charles Paris. Charles Paris is another one of those guys that has shown
up. I've heard that name
a lot,
especially for issues that we've ended up picking. You've been picking really good ones lately, too. I've been liking these ones.
I know, I'm pretty good. So, the Batman of... The Superman of Planet X or the Batman of Zernar or whatever the hell it is.
How is it that they only list like one? They list like three different titles in the issue itself.
So have you heard about this story? This is one of the stories that's kind of infamous.
I've heard of the story, but all my experience with it has been secondhand. Like 90% of the stuff that we've talked about so far, it's always been like a reference to, for the most part, a lot of Grant Morrison stuff, actually.
Yeah,
like,
this is definitely really a cornerstone of the Grant Morrison run. During the RIP, Rotten Purgatory, I think is what he decided to call it.
No one calls it that?
And that's what Dr. Hurt calls it. When he dies, he's like, Batman, Rotten Purgatory, and I think that was his way of saying it. Anyways, it's not important. The idea is that this is such a stupid like thing. They inject Batman with weapons-grade crystal meth, which is actually what they say in it.
How is it weapons grade?
It's weapons grade crystal meth, and he decides to fight back on this assault on himself by creating a personality based on this story called the Batman of Zernar, which is Batman without Bruce Wayne. So he's very brutal. He beats people up
with
like a bat.
Yeah, it's like he somehow trained his mind to have that as a backup, and then he forgot about it or something.
It's either implied that A, he actually did this, or B, he's like completely off his tits on drugs.
I like to think that's a little bit of both, but mostly off his tits on drugs.
If you look at a lot of the Grant Morrison stuff, we'll mention it in a couple issues because he makes reference to what happens in one of the issues we're going to look at as drug-induced hallucination. A lot of the stuff is basically like, oh, Batman's on drugs. There's a point in one of his stories where the Joker smokes like fear toxin, so. Yeah. So, also another one that Batman Brave and the Bold did basically this episode. They adapted it with Kevin Conroy starring as the Batman of Zernar.
I think we talked about that a couple of episodes ago, just for like a hot second.
So, without further ado, the Batman, Superman of... Yeah.
I kind of like this cover. It's like I wanted this cover to be more, but it's just big building block. It's like duplo block buildings in the background, and that's all it is. And then it's Superman or Batman flying around like Superman.
He'll mention it several times that he knows what Superman is. Have you noticed that?
The Zernar Batman?
No, like Batman keeps saying, oh, this is just like Superman. Hey, audience, look at, I'm like Superman here. My pal Superman, we're friends though, so it's okay. Boy, if that my pal could see me now.
Huh? But he's flying around these.
Please start buying our comics. We're going to get canceled pretty soon if you don't. you think that's a joke? That's actually somewhat true.
I wouldn't doubt it, especially around this time. I think you were saying that the sales were kind of dropping.
Sales were kind of dropping, and yeah, this is kind of like the lull of Batman.
I think that's why they're doing a lot of space stuff, but it's Superman, Batman flying around all these Duplo buildings, and then these ant-looking guys wearing onesie jumpsuits shooting laser beams at them, and then it's the whole shooting, like, I'm Superman, Batman, look at me, I'm so great.
So we get into an beginning of the issue that is actually kind of odd. Batman's looking at Dick sleeping. It's implied that they sleep in the same room in Lucy beds.
I didn't notice that until I reread it, and there's a second bed kind of hidden behind Batman in the background, so they sleep in the same room on a regular basis.
And Robin also is kind of looking like he's trying to grab onto somebody. Just saying.
He's holding on that pill, like, please save me, person, from Batman.
I thought it was more like, Bruce, where are you? I want my arms around your strong chest. I want to caress your lantern-like jaw.
I've been a bad dick.
You said you'd always have room for your dick. So, for some reason, Batman's just in a daze, and he's like, looks at Dick sleeping, goes, oh, that's weird. I'm not waking Dick up, and I'm going out to patrol, but I always go out with Dick. That one wasn't intentional. But then he just goes into the plane anyways.
And then he's like, why am I in the plane? Where am I going? It's a very, like, it's almost like a date rape drug kind of scenario. Like, the way they show it in TV and movies of not being able to know what you're doing, but you're just on autopilot.
But
you're just like,
make,
I'll say yes to anything.
It doesn't make any sense to the story that we have to have
that
how did I get here?
Yeah.
This is not my beautiful bat plane. This is not my beautiful mansion. How did I get here?
I was listening to that a couple days ago, so that really resonated with me. And I assume our audience at home. You're right. It's weird. It's Batman just kind of on autopilot, but still having enough consciousness to think, hey, this is weird.
But he keeps commenting on like all the stuff he's doing like he's not doing it. But it doesn't have any bearing on what happens in the rest of the issue.
Yeah, it's all while Batman's flying, all of a sudden he is transported to another planet, and then he meets the Batman of Zurna.
How would you pronounce it? I always pronounce Zurnar.
I want to say Zathura, like that really bad Jumanji movie.
Say it however you want. It's Z U R, so Zur.
N R
E N N A R R H.
I think it's Zurnar. It's a real
Zurnar.
It's a real John Jones kind of spelling to it with weird hyphens and commas. And
one thing you will notice in this issue is that they like to really play up the space stuff. You got teleported here through the spheres.
We've done that a few times. We did that last episode. We had
issue.
A few episodes
you
ago.
You made up the naming thing. You got to stick with it.
I said we weren't going to do it anymore. We talked about that a few times, like when Batman and Robin got transported to the future and they had to fight space pirates. And then
I hated that issue too.
You're so mad at it.
It's like, I brought you here teleportation, bodily transmission through space. You don't need to say that.
It's our Batman meeting this Batman of another planet, and he's explaining real quick how you came here. And then he has to do, yes, I located in a star system far, far away from yours. I doubt if your astronomers even know about us, but I've taken the trouble to learn your language, and I have a master speaker. When this Batman introduces himself, he has very robot-like arms. Like, for a second, I actually thought he was a robot.
Robot-like arms. Another thing he does is, like, he brings Batman here, and he instantly stands in front of him, unzips his pants, and shows him his dick.
He does
the whole
point
time just kind of like, oh, look at how great I am. This is all our technology is so much better than yours.
But I ripped you off.
I doubt that you would ever even know about our existence. Here's teleportation.
I like how Bruce first talking with our professor Batman.
What is his name again?
Professor like Lawton. No, Professor Tallow.
Tanlo.
Tanlo.
Which I will not repeat.
No, we're just gonna call it Zurnar Batman. I know we just had that conversation, but I like how he says, like, you look like a futuristic version of me. Well, he looks kind of like a weird hobo, like homemade version of you, but okay. I really do like the outfit, but he does not look futuristic to me at all.
I do like how I've been playing Injustice 2 a lot.
I can't get into Injustice games.
You can make the you can make your Batman have these colors, and I love having these colors on the Batman. I don't know why. It's one of those things that, like, all the design elements are, like, super gear. He's wearing a red, like, a muscle tee that has the...
It's like an 80s muscle tee, yeah, like, with
yeah,
the shoulders
are
ripped
cut
off.
And then he's got yellow arms and purple cape and cowl and gloves.
I like to think that his yellow arms are actually, like, robotic arms. Like, he just lost them in a weird lab experiment because he looks so damn robotic.
There is something oddly robotic about how he's drawn, and also... It's the first appearance of the circle, the yellow circle around the bat symbol.
Yeah, that bat's really like, it has like 15 different like points on its wings on each side. So I guess that's a Zurnar bat.
Well, if you kind of noticed, we've gotten away from like very clean, like normal bat. It's just kind of like the last thing they draw and they just do it super quick.
Yeah, I'm noticing like the coloring even, it's a little bit outside the lines.
And that's like of our Batman too. So anyways, he keeps like waving his dick at him, showing him how much better he is at.
Look at my car. Look at my ship. They both fly, so I don't know why I need a bat plane and a bat car.
Obviously, the Batman of Zurnar represents the Soviet Union, and Batman is just the USA. They're copying us, but they are all technologically advanced because of Sputnik.
So he shows him all these gadgets that he has, except for like a batarang or a silken rope. And he does show him his...
Like, hold on, friend. I've noticed through all these technological wonders you showed me, there are no silken ropes or batarangs.
We've progressed beyond these points. Now our boys just do what we say. We don't need a silken rope.
Take me home, sir. If this is a planet that does not have silken ropes, Oh,
what
shit.
Are we doing here?
I should have said, if silken ropes are outlawed, then only outlaws shall have silken ropes.
And he even shows him in a very ominous, you know, Chekhov's gun kind of a way. I even have this bat radia, and it just looks like a little engine type thing in the palm of his hands that just shuts down electronics nearby, specifically like car engines and stuff like that, or that plant's version of engines.
It's based on the Deus Ex Machina drive. He kind of retrofitted that to make it palm-sized.
There's a little brief scene where he shows this planet's Batman just saying, I use this to stop crooks. And it shows him stopping, shutting off a car so he can actually catch them. And he has a little thought bubble going, they've stalled, now to catch on, or close in on them. He thinks of that in English? There's no asterisk. It's not like translated from Zathurin or whatever that language is called. Yeah. Think about that. That's a very John-like thing to point out, but yeah.
So he brought him there because there's an invasion fleet coming. And to show him why he brought Batman there, he decides to just shoot him in the chest with some snot balls.
He's like, hey, whoa, holy shit, what are you doing? He's like, ah, no, it's fine. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
It's okay. It's just going to bounce off your manly, manly chest that doesn't have a Robin around it right now.
I really wish that the bullet shot off and just ricocheted into Zathura Batman. He's apparently super weak, if you think about it.
I really wish that they just, like, and they do look like boogers, too, that they just shot Batman.
Like, and he's just wrong.
Oh, shit, I was wrong.
Just right in the arm. Like, don't worry, doctor. I'll just walk this off. I'll tell you about it later. It's a funny story.
You could have slapped him to see if that would have hurt him.
Yeah, there's a different way to test that. Our alien Batman, because I keep trying to say the Zathura, and I'm not doing it. Gives him a steel bar, has him bend this, well, not steel bar, but like the strongest metal they have on the planet, and Batman's like, well, this is like taffy. I'm like
Shuriken
a Superman.
Steel.
I'm like a Superman here. And he explains, well, just like Superman, our gravity is so much different, and everything's so much different from your planet, that you basically have Superman abilities. Which begs the question, why didn't this Batman just grab Superman? Because he would have been like twice as effective if you think about it.
Oh my god, he would have destroyed everybody.
He would have just like blew his nose and the planet would have been gone.
That's why he didn't. But that's actually really true because, like, Superman would have been crazy.
Yeah, because his gravity was a lot more on Earth or whatever, and
well,
he was so much more advanced.
How do you think they explain the whole flying thing here? Because it's not gravity. He actually flies.
Yeah, he says, like, I'm going to jump really high, and then they talk about flying in the same breath.
He says, like, I can fly almost like a bird. So they kind of, like,
they confuse those two very quickly, and they're like, well, we won't make it jumpy, we'll make it flying. And then they never went back to rewrite that line. So Batman tests his strength very quickly, and right when they get done with going through the basic rounds of what he can do,
they say, hey kids, look what Batman can do this issue.
Just this once. As soon as they're done testing this out, our alien invaders come.
So they attack with very phallic-shaped rockets and such, and Batman...
I thought they were cannons.
Yeah, they're probably cannons. They shoot out big testicles that Batman just bats away with a big...
He's like, oh, well, I hope my super strength can stand up to those babies. Like, he's really attracted to these balls.
He breaks one of the phallic cannons open, grabs a switch, and just starts going to town on their asses.
He's just destroying these rockets or these cannons from these alien invaders because they want to destroy the water supply. This is where all the water supply stuff happens. This is where we poison the well. This is where we do anything in any other comic from now on.
As you can see, our water technology is years behind yours. So he beats him up. We get the scene from the cover reprinted, and you're right, there are Ant-Man. I didn't notice that because it's like the only time they actually show up, not in robots.
Yeah, so Batman's just kind of kicking ass. When he's about to finish them off, they go invisible. And because they're invisible, he can't fight them anymore. But however, if he's like Superman, he could hear them.
He could hear them, and he's also like,
they also,
go invisible.
He's Batman. He doesn't have like a bat radio or anything like that.
He is mid-punching one of the guys when they disappear, and, like, his dick doesn't get ripped off his body from the punch, so.
Once they go invisible and he's like, well, I can't fight them like this, Batman and Zathura Batman.
Just call him.
I cannot say it, right?
What should we name him? Zippy Joe.
No, I'm not calling him Zippy Joe. Batman 2? Let's just call Batman 2.
It seems more like a Batman A.
Fine, we'll call him Batman B. Be Batman. Be Batman. He's Be Batman. So Be Batman and Batman are trying to figure out a plan together because they've gone invisible. And the second they our alien invaders show back up again, they show up in big giant robots that look like they're from Mars Attacks. And they have cannons three or four cannons on the side of their glass dome heads, and they're operating from the inside. They got big duck
bills for some reason.
It does look like a giant robot made for DuckTales.
Woo. Ooh. Damn. And then, as we all know from the opening, they do fight a giant robots in there. They play hockey. Yeah, so prestigious. Let's get Carl Banks's lawyers on the phone. Was he or was it Rosa who was the one that was actually doing it this time?
I don't know.
So anyway, woo. So after trying to punch them, and he can't apparently do it because he can't see them, and if punching is all he knows, is all he's good at, so he needs to find something else. So Mitch notices that his video screen and the Batradon is having interference, so he quick races in a rocket ship that has the Flash's symbol on it over to where Batman's fighting him, and he pits the Batradon, and all of a sudden, they can show up.
And now that they show up, because they were big robots before, he couldn't just run in their general direction.
He couldn't just keep punching and hitting a giant robot.
He does a very Superman, Silver Age Superman sort of thing, where he grabs a lamppost.
This stunt often works for Superman on Earth.
He's like, wink, wink. And he takes
this big... We're just as good.
He takes this big lamppost and he twists it into a long rope super wire steel. And it's just long enough that he can rope it around all the robot's legs and bring them up into the air and have them come crashing down.
And the day is saved, and our garishly dressed Batman thanks him, gives him the one thing that he uses to solve every single problem on his planet.
That won't work on his planet.
It won't work on his planet at all, and sends him back on his way.
And then Batman's like, it would have been really easy, and he's still in the plane, so I don't know why he doesn't go, oh god, and starts flying. He just looks at it and is like, if it wasn't for this bat radar in my hand, I wouldn't have thought that this was a real thing. And he does a real shit-eating grin to camera.
It would be far easier to consider this a dream. But how can I? For in my hand I hold the Bat Radar. So did you like this issue, John?
I like elements of the story. So Zerna Batman outfit. Like, I really like that outfit.
It's you shouldn't like it, but like the second I read this issue, I was like,
it made me smile.
I want a pop figure of that. And they're like $200, so I'm not going to get one.
They briefly made a figure that was like a Kmart exclusive. It was like a DC Universe one or a line right after that line. And it came with a little Batmite and everything, too. And I never got it. And
I should have gotten that.
It's probably like $50 now or something.
It
online.
Is. I looked at that, too.
But there's elements I like out of it. Batman at the end of the issue having like that shit-eating grin. That was fun. It was... If they're going to have alien invaders, I wish they would have explained why they were alien invaders. That would have been a little nice.
Yeah, but you don't really need that. They're just invading. That's what aliens do at this time. It's the 50s.
It's a very limited view. Overall, I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, I liked it too. But, like, I mean, it's not like something I'm going to go back and read all the time. I like the goofiness of it, but
this
is
like
a very shallow story.
It's like a once and done kind of a thing.
Yeah. So next we're going to be looking at Batman the First from...
Batman 125.
Extra, read all about it.
Newspaper Joey.
August 1959.
August 6th. The Explorer 6 transmits the first photograph of Earth. Pictures are immediately classified when it's discovered that all maps have been wrong up to this point. Speaking of land masses, Hawaii becomes the 50th state on the 12th. President Eisenhower caused a bit of a snafu when he was overheard saying, "What the fuck does Ohana mean? You assholes better speak English if you want any tourists to show up."
Well, at least I know that one's fake.
Well, Hawaii did become the 50th state. But what of the other major leadership changes in the pages of Batman 125? Well, first we have The Last Days of Batman by Bill Sheldon and Charles Paris. I don't know why I didn't write that down. In a totally normal trip to the 1960s, courtesy of Dr. Nicholas, Robin is thrown 3 days in the future for a few seconds where he sees a headline saying that Batman has died.
How often does Dr. Nicholas mess up?
I don't know, but he doesn't really show up that much. We'll kind of get into, like, I've actually shown, like, the number of appearances by Ace the Bat Hound. It's not a lot. I actually did something similar when we talked about him, but I didn't put it down because it was so depressing. It was, like, two times. It's like, why are we talking about this asshole? But it turns out it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, and the Batman that died was a dummy. Yeah, thrilling stuff. I can't believe I actually read that one. But now let us all hail King Batman the First by Finger the Third, Sprang the 16th, and mauled off the lesser.
How many of those actual titles are true?
None. It's Bill Finger and Dick Sprang, and I don't remember what Moldoff's last name is.
Is it Paris?
No, that's Charles Paris. Moldoff.
Now you remember
his name. Moldoff has shown off a lot too. Before we start, though, this is the first issue that has letters to the Batcave. Do you want me to read some letters to you?
I could use a letter.
Dear editor, I would like to know how Batman met Robin. Also, I'd like to know how Batman found the Batcave and how Batman met Batwoman. God damn, that's a lot.
But they have a section of how Batman and Robin met.
I do like how their answer is like, these are some of the questions we were asked frequently, and it would be impossible to answer each one separately. No, it wouldn't. It'd be pretty easy.
It's pretty fast, actually. We're not going to do it, but it's pretty easy.
Why don't you have more Batman stories in Batman comics? Because it's Batman comics, ass. Does anybody besides Superman know if Batman and Robin are really Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson? Well, now everybody does because you printed it. And why do they need secret identities in the first place?
That's actually a pretty good point at this point in time because there is no point.
And they're so obsessed with it, too. If the whole world knew the fact, the caped crime busters would spend all their time having to protect themselves from attacks by enemies. And that would make them less efficient as fighters for law and order. It's not a bad answer.
That's the same BS excuse they give now. Hey, if Jon Stewart can just be a Green Lantern, just everyone knows that he's Jon Stewart, a Green Lantern.
Yeah, but if like everybody knew Batman, like Batman has a clown that frequently wakes up and goes, I think I'm gonna fuck with Batman today.
Yeah, I can't think
of a Jon. So if he knew his address,
I can't think of a Jon Stewart Green Lantern villain besides Fatality.
Yeah, and I mean he killed everybody on that planet that. They're all mad
at
him
did he?
For,
so. I haven't heard about Jon Stewart killing a whole planet before. That didn't come up after the first time it happened.
Did you know he did that?
I knew he did
in
that.
In an awful story?
It comes up all the time. For 20 years after that, it just kept coming up.
Have you ever
read
it?
You killed a planet.
It's Cosmic Oddity.
No, I haven't.
Odyssey, sorry.
I read everything around it, I think, preceding after it. But all I know is that in the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern run stuff, it's just Jon Stewart all the time talking about, I killed a planet.
It's basically,
and for another 20 years after that, he keeps, I killed a planet. Look at me. I blew stuff up.
It's basically the guy that created Thanos, who like, his whole thing was like, I need to make a character. I'm going to rip off Metatron. And they're like, Marvel's like, that's stupid. If you're going to rip off a new god, rip off Darkseid. So he's kind of both of them. But this was his chance to write the new gods. And he proves that he cannot write the new gods. He can only rip them off and make better characters.
Better characters?
Yeah, well, I mean, Thanos is a good character, isn't he?
You know better. I think you would know better.
I think people would argue that Thanos is a good character.
But you've read enough Darkseid that I think you'd have a better opinion than I would.
I love Darkseid, but...
Darkseid is.
That's true. But it's just like, wow, you cannot write these people for shit. And they kept letting him write them. And he's just like, okay, I did pretty good at Marvel with my space stuff, so...
Good, he went back to where he belongs.
So, recently in World's Finest Comics, Batman and Robin help Superman defeat a menace from another world. I'm wondering, though, how Batman and Robin would handle the situation by themselves. And I love this because, like, it's been a year since the Superman from Planet X. And they say, well, you don't have to wonder, because read the August issue of Detective Comics, where Batman and Robin battle the creature from Planet X.
I'm stunned.
Right? But they can't think.
They can't. Was that an actual title? Or are they confusing titles? No, they are confusing titles.
That's apparently the actual title. Because it's from Detective Comics from this month.
Sorry, I was thinking of...
This is actually just them cross-promoting. And then the last one is, who invented the Batplane and the Batmobile and the Batplane?
Bruce, if they talk about it like 20 years ago.
If they are such terrific vehicles, why can't crooks make them too? Well, you just kind of answered yourself. Because they're great. It basically just says that Batman designed them and built them with Robin. And they keep the blueprints a strict secret. Which is why criminals can't possibly make duplicates. Except I'm pretty sure that the Penguin makes his own in one issue.
It's a good question to have now. I don't think it's as nearly as impactful of a question to have at the time of that letter, because it's just a kind of a basic sort of car with some modifications in my mind. The jet's a little bit of a better question, because that bat plane turns into a bat jet after a few years. So the cover of this issue is the same as the story. It's, we've now crowned you King of Plaxis, and Batman's wearing a very... Adam Strange kind of a king helmet for his crown. And then there's a crook in the background going, oh, geez, Batman thinks his super identity is a secret. But I know, and as soon as we get back to Earth, I'm going to tell everybody. So it spoils the story for you right at the very beginning.
But that's why I chose the story based solely on the cover, because it was such like, Batman's named King of a Planet, and he's got to worry about his secret identity. It was so stupid.
I guess they want to show, like, hey, there's a risk for Batman. And they give me more reason to care about this than they did reason to care about Batman and Superman of Planet X.
Cerner.
Okay, so our story begins in a cave, as most of these stories do, as they're chasing a crook through the cave, and oh no, they hit a time warp. Where are some plastic spoons that I can throw at you? So they... Do they ever say what the planet's called?
Does it matter?
They instantly explain to the audience what's happening. Oh, we just hit a time warp and we're in another dimension.
How do you know that?
With your hands on your hip.
A year ago, I got warped to another planet. That's my biggest question. How do they know it's another dimension, not just another planet?
My guess is that Batman is so terrified that he is trying to just explain it away so that Robin doesn't start freaking out too.
Just appear that he's in control of the situation.
Yeah, it's like, that's okay. I know where we are. We're fine, Robin. We're fine. He's just like, yeah, this is pretty cool, isn't it? Bruce is like, I'm not scared of anything. There's no... Do I have superpowers? And he like takes a gun out and shoots himself in the chest and he's like, nope, I don't.
I like to think that he just like shot Robin in the leg instead to test it just in case.
Robin doesn't really do too much in this issue, so it's possible.
He's just around. They basically are transported after they go to this cave and they go through this time warp again. And they land on this Doctor Who planet and they're like, oh geez, something looks kind of weird. Let's follow these guys and we'll just be in our outfits even though we look completely different from everybody else.
But then some people come out and they're wearing 60s Doctor Who outfits too, so it's okay.
And I'm guessing the guy with the R on his chest is Rack or whatever his name is.
It's Rack, and then apparently Green Arrow is also there.
It's a very... They have very... we need our space goggles on kind of outfits.
Oh, thank God we can breathe.
While they're walking down this hall in some building they've gained access to, they overhear people talking about wanting to cheat in this competition, and which Batman and Robin would go, well, it's none of our business, but let's get involved.
Yeah, we don't know where we are. We don't know anything about this planet, but there's a wrong that must be righted.
So Rack is in this very old-timey Olympian-looking competition. It's like, I've won, and Batman just walks out and goes, I'll challenge you. And then they go rocket sledding and Batman wins.
But that is against the rules of carousel. Yeah, Robin, he doesn't know anything about what's happening, but he just goes into this.
I guess it's my business now. I'm Batman.
So Batman says, well, I think it's going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings me back again to find that I'm not the man I thought I was at home. Oh, no. But I'm a rocket man. And so he goes rocket sledding. Batman is instantly put at ease when Rack pulls out a silken rope.
I was like, oh, this is my thing. Ooh.
Oh, thank God.
He just goes one-handed on the rocket and uses the other hand just to kind of pinch his nipples a little bit because he's just really into it.
So Rack puts the...
With a big rocket in between their legs.
This is going to become a thing, isn't it? So Rack lassos him, but he gets him on the hand and Batman's so powerful. He's imbued with the power of the silken rope.
He's like, I know how ropes work.
He just pulls them off.
Yeah, he grabs the other side of the rope and he just yanks them over. And then it doesn't show it, but it implies later on that he's won the race. It doesn't show that one rocket crashed into the other rocket because they bumped rockets together and they liked it a little bit.
Or that either of them would die from that.
Yeah, they just go, we're going to cut away now for the really interesting looking action part. And we're just going to go to the next competition. Giant exercise balls that we're jumping on top of.
They're in that Rick and Morty planet where you instantly get healed from any injury you get. So they are on top of some balls and Bruce is like, oh thank God, first silken ropes, now balls.
He is in his element right now,
and he just smacks some balls into Rack, who falls off and should die from this as well. So Batman wins and he's awarded.
He's like, hey, I've beat this guy. He's a crooked person. And then they're like, well, you are now the king of the planet. What?
King of this planet? Of course, Batman.
And it's like, well, you have to accept, remove your mask. And instead of declining and just trying to get away, he's like, well, okay, I'll take my mask off and I'll just hang out. And there's no real risk to me. No one knows who I am.
They have some very weird rules where, like, if any stranger wants to become the king of the planet in the death tournament, he is allowed to. It's totally fine. But you cannot put a crown on somebody that has a mask on.
Like, apparently it doesn't matter if he's had a history of touching rockets before. They'll just let anybody join this competition.
So in the crowd, we find out that criminal that they've been chasing has actually been time warped again over here.
To the left?
Yes. We could have done like a Star Trek thing here, couldn't we? It's too late. So so he tells Rack, because apparently like criminals are all best buddies even on other dimensions. And Rack's like, these are aliens. Obviously.
Well, you can't be king then, and then they imprison him, and they're going to hold another competition the next day, which is a weird thing. You could theoretically have, like, a sociopath murderer guy win this competition, no problem. Guy from another planet, nope, it's done.
So, if we're going to put this into modern terms, Batman is Hillary, Rack is Trump, and this criminal is Putin, right?
We got, like, three listeners. Why are you doing this?
For fun. So they put them into the strongest persons they have.
Test tubes.
Giant glass tubes. But luckily, Selena, not Kyle, but Vol, who was the guy that was kidnapped earlier.
She's wearing heels and a weird space helmet and some rocket boots or something. I don't know. She's very futuristic, too.
She's very zeitgeist.
So she frees them. They head out. They try to go to her rocket ship because Batman's all about them rockets. Knock out a couple of guards that were on the roof. And then they go to where Vol is. Vol being the person that Rack had originally kidnapped and hid away so he could win this presidential contest.
They use detective clues to figure out that
someone told them.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't fucking matter. So... when they're trying to get close, they get shot by a stun laser, which doesn't really sound that bad.
Yeah, because from the space castle that they're approaching, Rack's space castle. Why'd you pick this?
It was all on the cover, I told you. They grab a meteor and push it there, and they're hiding, they're grabbing on the meteor as it's hurling towards the castle, and then they just beat the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah, and it shows Batman fighting Rack. And then it just immediately cuts. They don't resolve the story, really. It just cuts away to, hey, look, you guys won. And they're like, yeah, we did. Okay, bye. And they take their criminal with them in futuristic handcuffs and then leave.
He figures
out. They don't really resolve, like, how they won. It's just Batman punches the guy, and that resolved it. That was it.
Oh, yeah. And then there is a good line where it's like, they're talking about how Batman cannot get back to his own dimension. And he says the dumbest thing. He's like, well, there is a way. Vol, I can find the time warp again with a fan and a bucket of dust.
God.
So, yeah, why not?
So they head back through the time warp.
But they are completely resigned to the fact that their criminal, that he's going to tell everybody that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
It is what it is. I have to do my job.
We can't just leave him here dead. It's been 20 years since I used to do that at the end of every issue.
I don't kill anybody anymore.
I'm not allowed to kill anybody anymore. Superman said that he'd melt my face if I did, which seems like...
Besides, killing people's a job for Dick. But they go through the time warp, and then everyone's memory is erased. The only clue of their adventure are the futuristic handcuffs that our Earthbound criminal has found himself in.
Almost ends the same as our last issue, where it's like, oh, did that happen? Well, how could it happen? I have this in my hands.
Very much so.
Like a lot.
The only difference is, like, Batman actually remembers it, and this time it's a little bit more of a mystery, but knowing Batman magic, he'll figure it out eventually.
And they're in the cave, and... he's looking at Robin, he says, I could have been the king there, but in my own way, I'm the king here.
And it's just so great.
King, baby. And he starts kissing him.
I was thinking...
it's the end of Army of Darkness.
I was thinking Lion King. So how did you like it? You picked it, so you got to explain.
The way that he looks on the cover is that he looks like he's going to be like a mad king. For some reason, when I looked at it, I was like... and I guess he doesn't, but he just has this look on his face that I just thought... that it's going to be one of those Superman goes crazy and, like, imposes his will on everybody's stories. But that never happened. And actually, we crown you King of Plexus. Okay, so it's Plexus this whole time.
you maniacs!
You blew it up.
Thank you for being on the same page as me on that.
Which doesn't make any sense because I don't see how those two correlate. But no, this was very disappointing.
It was okay. It was just okay. I actually like Batman, Superman, and Planet X more.
Yeah, a lot more.
The thing that they do here, and they do it in Batman comics in general, but they did it like three times here, is they set something up, and just before that scene got interesting, they cut away to when it ended. And like, hey, look at that. We went on a crazy adventure. I would have liked to have seen the adventure, like the rocket, him hitting racks, those things. Like, there was no in between. It was just, hey, here's the beginning of the scene, here's the end of the scene, and that was it.
I kind of would have liked...
A little bit detailed there would have been great. These are shorter stories. We're usually reading stories that are around 11 pages. These two are like 8, I think.
Yeah, we might actually, I don't know, we might have to start bumping up the story count. We'll have to look into that. But no, when I got this issue, I really did think that we were going to see King Batman. And not necessarily like Batman as the bad guy, but like just Batman making laws and like they put him in a crazy situation that you wouldn't think Batman would be in. I wanted to see that happen, but it was just like a panel and he's king.
So in current comic books, and by the time this episode comes out from when we record, because we record these a little bit ahead of time, it'll be like end of December, but around mid-November or so. And the DC Metal event is going on right now. There was a single...
Justice League was also just released. Go on.
There's a single issue story focusing on the Man Who Laughs. Mm-hmm. So it's basically Batman as if Joker Toxin had taken over him. And the idea was this combination is Batman having all of his abilities and everything, but the Joker's no inhibitions. So he just did things that pleased him that he thought was fun, regardless of any moral... He basically is Batman with no moral.
Yeah, the dream sequence from... Arkham Knight.
A little bit more even. Like, much more disturbing. There is, and it's showing him slowly going crazy, like, these things are attacking me. And because this is so long after that event, if you don't want to hear this part, you know, hit the forward button a couple of times. There's a part where he's talking to his Bat family, and he says, hey, I'm affected with this toxin, and I want to make sure that you guys knew. And they're like, yeah, so we can stop you later on and find a cure and everything. And he says no, and he turns around, he's got a big Joker smile on, and he guns everybody down with a big crazy smile on his face. And that was super disturbing, because you see Barbara Gordon's face, and damn. And then, like, a day later, he's on the Watchtower, and he's taken down the whole Justice League by some other insidious means, and he basically makes it so that Clark has gone crazy with, like, black kryptonite. And against his will, like, he's conscious, he knows what he's doing, but he can't force his body to stop. He forces, and it happens off-panel, but you get, like, shadows and it's very disturbing. He forces Clark to murder his wife and son. It is very disturbing. It's like, this is kind of what you wanted, but to a much further extreme. Super good issue.
I don't.
Super disturbing.
I don't think that that's what I wanted, but... All right, so now let's mess with the people that are skipping forward by just adding some nonsense. So then he raped and ate Robin? That does sound dark.
And that's how you win the lottery.
And that's how you win the lottery. All right, so let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with The Secret Life of Bat-Hound.
From Batman...
I didn't say the...
From Batman 125.
Following the success of Crypto, the Superdog, weird that Office recognizes that as a word, Ace the Bat-Hound made his debut in Batman 92, June 1955, in which he was found by Batman and Robin after his owner was kidnapped by some goons. The Dream Team decided to use the German Shepherd to help track down his owner. How they knew that he had been kidnapped is anybody's guess. I didn't bother reading it. I'm guessing you didn't either.
It's a real Lassie scenario, I'm guessing.
Since Bruce had already put up hundreds of found dog flyers, he feared the criminals would notice the star pattern that Ace had on his neck, so they made a hood and called him Bat-Hound.
They didn't have to take the dog with them, I don't think.
With a hyphen. Yeah, because he was tracking.
Okay.
Like every other... side character used him sometimes when they remembered, until Julius Schwartz took over as Bat Editor and started the New Look era that we'll be looking at in a few months. Ace would be mostly forgotten after this, making cameos here and there, until the Crisis on Infinite Worlds pretty much erased him from all continuities. According to the comic book database, Ace made 9 appearances in the issues of Detective Comics and Batman. Although that might just be a cameo, I don't know how much that is.
How often, like how prevalent he is in the issue versus just being on a panel.
But have you ever gone to the comic book database?
Every once in a while, I will. Either that or Wikipedia, I'll get down to like holes if I'm interested in a
comic book database
character.
Will take a character and show you every single appearance that he has made.
I need to do that with Batman Kyle Rayner. Actually, here's a call out to any Robin's regulars. I have this thing that I've been trying to figure out and I can't remember. There is some interaction between Batman and Green Lantern Kyle Rayner. And I can't remember if it's in the Green Lantern run, if it's in a JLA run, if it's a completely separate thing. I have no idea.
It's but Batman. It's...
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's Hitman JLA, where he gets knocked out and molested by Excelente. Bueno, Excelente.
No.
I know, it's a joke. But that is actually in that comic. It's implied that guy.
The interaction I'm looking at is, I think Batman's in either Kyle's apartment or he's going to like go out the window and leave for the night. That's what Batman does. He just goes into people's apartments and exits when he's done with them. But he says something to the effect of, you know, I've worked with a lot of Green Lanterns, but I really trust you for whatever reason. It was Batman actually being candid with Kyle really quick and appreciating like him coming into his own and really trying and putting effort where like he didn't see that from John or from Guy Gardner or Talad as much. And I can't remember where that conversation takes place, and it really bothers me. So any Robin's regulars out there, if you know of that, if you can find it for me, I'd appreciate that very, very much, because it's driving me insane and I can't find it anywhere.
And I might try using the directory to figure that out. But I've been looking. I just can't find it. Because searching Batman and Green Lantern, a lot of results there.
Kyle's your favorite character, isn't he?
For Green Lantern, hands down.
Well, I think he's one of your favorites.
He's top. Him, Booster Gold, a couple others, but he's definitely one of the top ones.
Okay. So, speaking of dogs. But that wouldn't be the Batman's family's association with dogs. A new Ace was introduced in 1991. This time a Mastiff and former dog to a blind Native American tracker. Ace would treat
That's
as
very
a real 90s dog.
Sounding yeah. for a comic book.
Ace was treated as a real dog and pet to Bruce. Seldom used in the field, and only then used as a tracker or something that a dog would realistically do.
It kind of sounds like the current bat hound that they have.
Mainly staying in the Batcave, he tended to hang around Harold once he was introduced and disappeared during No Man's Land, never to be mentioned again. This version also appeared around 9 times. Damian was given a black Great Dane that they named Titan in the New 52, and a female Ace shows up in Batman Annual 1 in 2016. Again, Titan or and this Ace, they kind of mixed them together on the database.
Mm-hmm.
There is no entry for Titan, but there is one for Ace the Bathound.
Oh, it's kind of
so I'm assuming,
together.
And they was post Flashpoint, so I'm guessing there's just all these appearances are just this one dog. He made about 9 appearances, but it looks like they're mostly quite recent, so he might still be a thing. And then that leaves us the last Bat Pet, if we're not counting Jason, which is the Bat Cow. Introduced in Batman Incorporated, this brown cow with a white bat across his face was taken in by Damian and was part of the reason the little bastard decided to turn vegan.
Is he vegan? Yeah. I did not know that.
Apparently. You know what? It's really funny. I own this run of Batman Incorporated. I never finished.
Really?
Yeah. I'm one issue into like the first run.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why. Because I really like the Morrison stuff. But this battle in Bovine is apparently still on the Wayne-owned dairy farm where he ran into the Forever People of all things.
There's a lot of Bat Pets. That's kind of, at least for comic book writers, Damien's thing to kind
animals.
Of make him sound more like a child,
yeah,
more
kids and animals. It makes
more
sense.
More relatable and everything. That he wasn't just he's not just a little asshole running around or anything. I don't know if you can count him as a bat pet, but you have Goliath too, and he's just this big bat creature that Damian didn't kill when he was on his like year of blood or whatever it's called, like a training thing when he was still under Ra's al Ghul. He was like he killed like his whole family, but then he didn't kill Goliath, and now he's like a creature that helps him fly around and everything.
They're totes BFF.
They are. There's a run called Robinson of Batman, and it was actually really good, and it had Goliath, and they made him a very fun kind of character that couldn't talk, and they still use him a little bit here and there, so they haven't forgotten about him. He's probably appeared more times than Bat-Hound at this point.
The Bat-Hound, like I said, he doesn't have a lot of appearances.
Yeah,
18 before like Infinite Crisis, and that's between two dogs. And it's one of those things that's just kind of this weird enduring, like, not enduring, that's kind of the wrong thing to say, but
it sticks way more than it should for 9 appearances.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dr. Nicholas. Like, I knew about Dr. Nicholas, but he doesn't really appear that much.
That's fair to say.
Outside of comics, there have been a few Aces that shown up here and there. Ace was a recurring character in the Crypto cartoon for maybe 10 years back, and he also cameoed in Batman Brave and the Bold. The most endearing version of Ace, however, was in Batman Beyond, where he was the elderly Bruce Wayne's constant companion, always seen by his side.
And that was a nice way to use him.
It was.
As a detail, as an added protection for aging Bruce Wayne.
So, last, but actually first, because I switched the order, A Talking Dog by Bill, with pencils by Sheldon and inks by Paris.
I'm starting to really like Paris.
I don't know if he's shown up that often as the penciler, but he's almost always the inker.
Yeah, you know way more than I do. You do so much more research.
We didn't really mention it, but we had, like, last issue, we had, like, a completely new team. And it was very noticeable in character designs, specifically. I don't know if you saw that.
Which issue are you thinking of?
The King Batman.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we had a new writer we'd never seen before.
There's a lot more detail in the face.
There's a lot more detail, and it didn't look like DC at this time was very, had to have everything very on point. It's like, I think the thing that I always think is that in the 70s, during Jack Kirby's run on the New God stuff, every single time he drew Superman, they would redraw Superman's face. Because they didn't feel. Have you ever seen, like,
really?
His Superman, like, has so much personality in his face because it kind of looks like, it does look like somebody, like, punched him in the face right before. Ew. It's hard to say. No, but, like,
Rocky Balboa kind of a face?
He kind of looks like, I don't know, it's just something about Kirby's stuff. It's hard to say, but, like, they always kind of like to have their stuff
very uniform at this point, and into like,
considering how fast they got to pump some of these out sometimes, or sometimes, how many times they're appearing in other places.
But I mean, we also see like, well, Bob Kane's credited until this new look era, because they're going to get the writer, the drawer from The Flash, to start drawing him, and his art style is completely different. So they renegotiate Bob Kane's contract, so he's not going to get credit anymore. That's why we start getting credit for other artists.
We've talked about that so many times, but the way that things were either documented or the way things were like ghost written or drawn at this point is just, it makes it a lot harder to know who did what.
Well, they do have records of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's at least more, a little more accurate, but still, like, if you don't bother to look, you're just assuming Bob Kane did everything until, what, 60s, 70s?
Actually, I think this is the first issue that Bob Kane did not do anything on.
It just has his name
that
on
we're looking on.
It's just boilerplated on.
Yeah,
it.
But like, okay. he didn't show up in any of my research on any of this stuff. Also, I'm kind of mentioned that the Justice League movie just came out. At the end of the credits, there was a credit that said Bob Kane created by, Bob Kane created by Batman. Ooh. Batman created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
That was one of the first few times that actually is in there.
Yeah. So
I don't think it was in there for Batman vs. Superman either.
Probably not. Also, I actually geeked out a little bit when there was a scroll that said the fourth world character is created by Jack Kirby. But
I was looking for that, and I missed it in the credits, and I was getting kind of bummed. I made a comment to the team. It's like, no, it was up there. You just looked away for a second.
No, it was in the end credits.
Yeah.
Only Superman was in the front.
Only I may dance.
Only I may dance. And that was weird, because Superman was dead the whole time, right?
No, we're not going to do it. I don't want to talk about that movie.
John feels that this Justice League movie is too much of a minefield right now.
I do. Think what you want. That's perfectly fine. Yep. But let's talk about Bat-Hound.
So we start out with a splash page that features a scene that... Oh, there's another thing that we didn't talk about. We'll talk about her in another issue. But we also get brief appearance of Batwoman. This is our first appearance of Batwoman, Ace, and Alfred.
All in the same issue?
All in the same issue. So there's a dragon that they're fighting, and Bruce has a sword, and all of them, Ace is just barking at it, apparently that he thinks that's going to work.
And everyone's kind of standing back. And then the issue starts being narrated by Bat Dog, and it's very cutesy, tongue-in-cheek kind of narration.
He's a bit of a punster, he is.
Very much so. And then it just starts off with, well, my master, John Wilker, apparently the man that was kidnapped before at some point, says that I'm going to go away and you guys take such good care of him. I was hoping you'd keep him. Okay, perfectly fine. People rehome dogs sometimes and that's responsible. Great. But Bat Hound references that this is great. I can become Bat Hound more often. They're going out fighting crime with somebody else's dog, endangering this dog. What's going to happen if something happened to him? They're like, sorry, we were playing really hard with this dog, and it got shot by a Tommy gun multiple times during a bank robbery. Sorry.
So we were at the park, and Muggsy Malloy shot him 87. Oh, be like, so yeah. Here's your dog back. The dog's dead. It's like, yeah,
but he's happy. Look at that Joker grin on his
face. Oh, I was gonna say, why is his fur all white?
Oh, I undercut you. That's my.
That's fine.
That's my joke now.
We went to the same place. So anyway, so dinner is served apparently, which means a bone. They don't give him any meat or anything.
Yeah, Joker's like, okay, Joker. Yeah, Alfred's like, here's a bone. And then Bruce's like, come on, let's go behind this clock and we'll go down to the Batcave and we'll show you all the stuff we made. We're not going to show the reader though, because screw you guys.
So he brings him down, and there's no reason to bring the Bat-Hound down there. They just mentioned that. The next thing that they think is going to be, it's the golden anniversary of, what was it? A department store.
Yeah, they bring that Bat-Hound down there, kind of like Chekhov's gun sort of a thing, I guess, which is still stupid. They didn't need to do it at all.
Because he's a dog. It's not like he's going to know where it is. That's not how he finds them.
Yeah, but it's a very standard Batman noticing something going on in the news and going, well, this is going to attract some criminals. We should probably look out for this golden anniversary of a department store. And they have... Can you do this? I can't handle it.
They have a golden Cadillac, a giant goose, three giant eggs, copper pot made of gold, and then a whole bunch of other trinkets.
I like that the car was specifically made for an Indian Raja.
Well, yeah. So, and then the weirdest fucking thing happens. So there's some gold eggs, right?
From the goose, that makes yeah,
from
absolutely.
The goose,
that makes sense.
As you
that
do.
Tracks.
Like we said, we're in the era where every department store apparently had giant displays of everything.
About,
I've seen the big store from the Marx Brothers. It had all kinds of no.
What about two or three episodes ago? We got done talking about Batman fighting some criminals that wanted to rob a cash register plant and there was a giant cash register with no money in it.
And then they ran through the science exhibit where their giant, like, DNA molecules up and all that shit.
It makes more sense of how Batman, like, the Adam West Batman stuff worked when you have all these examples of what was coming out around that time.
So, fucking the Midas gang...
pops out of the
eggs. Really? They pop out of the eggs, which is an unnecessary step, and steal the car.
I really want someone to, like, be cleaning up for that event later and go, wow, this plastic egg painted gold is really heavy for some reason. They crack it open, just a bunch of dead gangsters because they didn't have any ear holes.
Or, like, the next day, like, they're picking up after all the crimes, all the egg things. It's like, oh, man, these things are covered in shit and piss.
Why is there a bucket in a corner and cigarettes and booze? Why, this is the lap of luxury in this golden egg.
Oh my goodness, look at you.
Yeah, it's like Batman and Robin try to stop the Midas gang, and they swing into action.
Kicking a duck onto the guys, which should kill them.
It's the goose. It's the golden goose.
Should we talk about Midas too? Oh, I wonder why he never came back.
It looks like Jim Gordon in a ridiculous outfit.
He's got like a gold suit, a gold mask, and
this is like
a
pimp before pimps are pimps.
So they get away and they throw some coins to...
Yeah, they take the Rajah's golden car that's apparently gassed up and ready to go. And they try to get away. Batman and Robin are chasing them down and they just throw a bunch of gold coins in traffic. Everyone just jumps into the road to grab what I'm assuming is chocolate covered in a golden wrapper.
Which, you know, rationing was still... No, it wasn't. So they chase them to a gold mine, and they're like, of course, a fitting hideout for the Midas mob.
But they're like, of course, but they're only, of course, after they took a rag that had some gold dust on it, and they analyzed it and go, well, this is gold dust. No shit. And they're like, well, they must be in a gold mine. It's that very Batman World's Worst Detective work.
So they go into the gold mine and are attacked by a golden eagle.
Which golden eagles don't look like that.
No, they're not. This one's like shining and shit.
It's like they
so they spray painted an eagle.
And
with...
the eagle's like, kill me, I'm dying.
And they're like, oh, you're the guy with the spray paint. So he says they're going to go to the, like a true stupid comic villain. He says that what their next job is going to be right before he kills them. And he blows up the entrance to his hideout, which I'm assuming still has some stuff in it, right?
There's got to be something somewhere. Yeah, absolutely. They've hidden away something.
So they're trapped in there. There's a DeLorean in the mine somewhere. The only thing they can think to do is hit a transceiver in Bruce's boot that will, for the Bat-Hound. And it's not even the Bat-Hound, it's just Bat-Hound.
Is it weird that Bruce had a receiver in there, or transceiver in there, and not explosives?
It's weird that he would have a button on the bottom of his shoe, so
when
every step you take, he'd step on the button.
There's a chance of that, at the very least. Why wouldn't he just have something in his utility belt? People know there's gadgets in there, so it's not like he's giving away anything.
Yeah, why are we hiding this? It's like, okay, well, if there's any dog summoners on there, you gotta take that away first.
Back when he had explosives in his heels, I kind of understand that.
It does make sense. It's still stupid, but...
So Bat-Hound gets that little signal on his collar, and so he goes down to the Batcave, and they show what they didn't show earlier when they had Bat-Hound look in the cave. And the present is... just a mask that goes over Bat-Hound that's held up on like a wood board.
Yeah, it's a device that Batman made for him.
And he just walks up into it and he can put the mask on. But why bother putting that mask on when the collar that has the receiver for that signal has a little bat emblem right on the front of it? Like, that's really advertising. Like, hey, Batman walks around with this dog all the time now. And Bruce Wayne's bat has a little bat collar. Or Bruce Wayne's dog has a little bat collar on it.
So... Bruce Wayne's dog, do you think that's the Bat-Hound? No, stupid. The Bat-Hound has a mask on.
Yeah, I mean, just because Batman has a dog and a ward, and Bruce Wayne has a dog and a ward, doesn't mean they're the same person. That's impossible.
I do like the idea that he's like, I need to get somebody to go help with me. Robin? Alfred? No, this is his night out. So he's very considerate to Alfred.
He is. So Bat-Hound goes and he finds Batwoman, because apparently they're best friends and they know each other. And he does a very Lassie type thing where he's like, hey, there's danger. I need you to come with me. And it goes to a panel where Batwoman is chasing down Bat-Hound with a motorcycle. And it seems very vicious.
It does. And then we cut to them already been dug out. And apparently she used a backhoe.
Yeah, like the whole tunnel's cleared out. And again, they cut up away from something that was action. At the very least, they could have had a panel, just one panel, where it was Batwoman going, "Hey, you guys there from like the opposite side of a wall?" And they're going, "Yeah, we're here, we're okay, we're running out of air." So something to like give a reason for how she dug them out so quickly.
I'll use this backhoe that just happens to be here.
It's the Bat-hoe.
I do like how they're kind of explaining what's going to happen next. You could just see Robin petting Ace. That's nice.
Again, it's a very Batman type thing of, well, there's a movie in town. He must be there to steal something from the movie.
There's a movie of Jason and the Golden Fleece. So as a promotion stunt, they made a solid gold fleece, which doesn't make any sense.
Why are they always filming these like Greek myth movies in Gotham?
Yeah, because that's not like...
There's a movie industry in Gotham, but it's specifically for Greek myth. Nothing but. You got some Roman stuff? Get your shit out of here. Go home. We do Greek myths here.
How often when was Jason and the Argonauts made? I don't think it was around this time. Like, that wasn't something that...
There's not a big market for it.
There's not a market for it right now. It's like mainly Westerns, and we're starting to get into like B sci-fi movies.
So it's a very odd thing. So they go, okay, we're going to go to this... this movie set, and we're going to stop Midas from stealing the Golden Fleece. And they get there, and they stop him just in time.
There's, like, a robot dragon, because of course there is, and Bruce stabs it with a sword.
It's the panel from before.
Mm-hmm.
The thing in the beginning of the issue actually happened somewhere.
But how pissed is that movie studio?
Yeah, like, they stole a bunch of stuff. Like, that isn't a real Golden Fleece, guys. That's, like...
Well, no, it said that it was a real Golden Fleece.
They say that, but it's kind of like the capes and everything from Game of Thrones. It's just an IKEA rug spray painted gold. That's all it is.
I was thinking more of the fact that the giant hydraulic dragon he stabs and ruins, it's probably worth
a good amount of money. Because it's able to move on its own.
It's worth $2,000.
Like, the only thing it should be able to do, this dragon's like stomping around and shooting steam out of its nose. But the only thing it should be able to do is like kind of buck around if no one's controlling it.
It looks like it's actually like...
Looks like he's tearing stuff up a little
bit. Yeah, tearing some shit up. So we see something, that, like a little hint about what we're going to talk about later, which is that Batwoman sprays some powder from her compact in somebody's eyes.
I saw that. It's like, that's the best way you can fight?
Unfortunately, she has a utility purse, and all her things are like makeup-based.
Is this still Kathy Kane?
Yes.
And this is, really, this is a very different version of Kathy Kane than anyone from like before New 50. Ever since 52, there's been... a modern version of
is her
Catherine
name?
Kane. It's Catherine Kane.
It's Catherine Kane.
Yeah, and she's a very different character. It's like in name only, basically. Yeah. And this is a very
which
Earth
actually
one.
they unless I'm mistaken, they made like her niece or something.
I think something kind of like that. I'm very weak on Batwoman history.
Well, we'll get there. 2 issues from now.
I do like this Batwoman's outfit. It's got more yellow, black, and red in it.
It looks exactly like a bat doesn't.
It doesn't look like a bat, but the outfit itself is actually kind of fun.
I also like there's a scene where
it's overly feminine, I guess, but like, at least the coloring I like.
Yeah, it's like super sexist.
The coloring I like, not necessarily the sexist part.
There's also this bit where Robin is apparently chasing somebody with a light, and he chases him into a camera. I like that bit, too.
How fast is he going? Like, he's just like...
Seems like he's booking. So
I can't stop, no!
Ace tracks down King Midas or whatever the fuck his
name was. Yeah, they were fighting his goons and Midas ran away.
And he notices that he'll never catch up with the car, but the road is curved, and this being a very spatially aware dog, thinks that he could catch him, and he knocks over a tree to be the first dog to ever make a bridge.
How does he know that he's the first dog to ever do that?
He's a very smart dog.
He's a very arrogant dog. It's also that whole scene of him running out of the city, and then all of a sudden he's in... a very rural area, and there's a canyon. It's a very Springfield as Springfield. It's very Gotham as Springfield kind of
a
thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of Gotham as Springfield.
And I love that, that Gotham's just this very ambiguous place.
So apparently he finds him at his airfield. He's going to go into a plane, but he's able to hold him off until Batman can show up and punch him in the face.
What's the point of Bat-Hound showing up then?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't do anything in this issue.
It shows Bat-Hound. It just says very quickly, I kept Midas at bay at this airport hangar until Batman shows up. And then it shows Batman punching Midas in the face and a gun flying up in the air. Wouldn't it have been like fun or entertaining to show a scene of Bat-Hound actually holding Midas off?
Yeah.
they're doing this thing where they cut away from all these really interesting parts. It's a very, and I'm going to compare it again to other things because I love doing that stuff. It's a very Star Trek TNG kind of a thing where it's like, hey, the ship's going to blow off. And they just, someone from operations says it off camera. Yeah. Like, you don't see the ship actually blow up.
Or we just got hit. Quick pitch, like we just got hit.
They don't show the graphics to it. However, that's a budgetary reason. What budget are they saving in this comic? They could draw Midas and the dog one more time.
Well, they have to make room for the Tootsie Roll ad that's underneath.
Describe the rest of the issue first.
Okay. So Batman punches him, and then Kathy gives him a big old hug and says, Bat-Hound, you're wonderful. And he says, gosh, I only did what any red-blooded American dog would do, which
you're
is...
You're a German Shepherd. A German Shepherd. It's in the name.
And then
shit-eating grin at camera again.
He does. That's how it ends. He gives us a wink. He says, and he ends on an awful pun. Well, that's a story, except that I heard Midas has hay fever, and there's a lot of goldenrod near his prison. That's a pretty shaggy joke, but what do you expect from a dog? So Ace is not my favorite Batman character ever, just because of that.
Just because of the shit-eating grin at camera and the bad joke?
So
there's a lot of shit-eating grins to the reader. In all three of these issues, was that the common thread for all these comics?
It's like, we know this isn't very good.
How'd you like the issue overall? Because I you really seem to.
While I was reading it, I was like, oh, that's it? I wanted like three more pages of
it. It was another 8-pager. It was very brief for whatever. It's like Batman 1 and a bunch of issues after that, because I remember them saying it on the covers, was advertising 52 pages. And I'm wondering if they cut back at some point and gave way to advertising.
Well, like I said,
bit.
We're kind of at a point where they're not as profitable as they used to be with this stuff. So, but I enjoyed it. But it's not good. It's a very shaggy story. Don't mind the pun. The shaggy dog story. Ace doesn't do anything. He only has 8 appearances, and he's wasted this one. This is his title appearance.
He wasted this one? Just loved him.
I loved his puns.
Is it really a waste, though?
We didn't mention that he narrated everything, and that... There's a bunch of puns all over the place.
I wonder if they narrated that to kind of resonate with kids more a little bit.
No, of course. It's the whole reason they got the dog in.
Fair enough.
It's like, hey, why don't you put a mask on this, you stupid dog? So, yeah, and then we have a nice little poem from the Tootsie Roll Company to end us.
Captain Tootsie must have retired, actually. It's like a weird...
You ready?
It's like a weird albino bear.
It's an albino mouse that is riding a bucking bronco. A bone-busting cowboy named Clyde said, "They're nary a horse I can't ride. When they're hard to hold, I eat Tootsie Roll. Then Wild Horse can't throw me off my stride." So again,
Ovaltine makes you strong, kids.
So apparently Tootsie Rolls are still something that'll give you all kinds of energy, which...
And make you crash later.
Yeah, it's not really... It's kind of true. John, look at the telescreen. A message from the future. It seems we will be looking at Batman Meets Batmite from 1959 next issue. I'm sure it'll be a hard-boiled noir tale worthy of its place in Detective Comics 267. Then the time conveyor shall bring us to 1962's Batboy and Robin from Batman 147. And now the time scoop is coming to take us to the death zone to face 1964's Batman creature from Batman 162. Quick, John, before the vacuum tubes decay, tell the Robin's regulars how to stay in contact with us.
I don't know how Robin's regular still gets me like that. Listeners can find us on Twitter. We are at SACBatPod, or you can use that as the hashtag to get a hold of us, or you can use the hashtag Robin's regulars. It's pretty much just us and a band from 5 years ago. Or you can email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com. We'd love to hear suggestions for episodes, see artwork that you've made. Pictures of costumes, toys, whatever. We want to hear from you. SAC episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find a full list on our website listed in the episode description. And with that, I have been John Pfeiffer.
And I've been Chris Winnia. And since I made all those dumb intros and I skipped our usual motto, why don't you end it on us? So this has been a Batman podcast
for the warden us all.
Good journeys.
Shut up.
Okay.
You made a deaf dog take notice.
You're like, I just told him to shut up.